Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm here with Mark Johnston, international marriage expert. How are you doing today, Mark?
Hi, Heather. I'm doing great. You know, after the holidays, had a chance to relax a bit, and it's good to be back. How about you? How did things go for you over the holidays?
Good. We all got sick, so we feel like it was like the wasted break ever, but I know that we weren't alone out there. A lot of people were battling the sickness and stuff like that, but we're on the up and up now.
I bet that for those you're really far along with your pregnancy now, aren't you? And to be sick on top of all that, it's gonna be rough.
Yep, we're expecting baby number 8 in about 19 days, if I can do the math. I'm a little sleep deprived already. So yeah, we're excited and grateful, and I'm excited to be here with you today. And we're going to be talking about a really important issue, which is getting to the root cause of why they want out. And again, this was submitted by our awesome subscribers. So thank you for asking us to do this. I feel like this is a really important topic. One of the things that Mark and I really focus on here at High Thrive is that we always want to focus on like the root issue of why something is happening and not just the symptoms of what you may be seeing or experiencing in a relationship. And one reason why this really contrasts us with a lot of the other maybe self-help or therapy or different things out there is that we don't want to just focus on those symptoms. And we'll go deeper into what that actually means here in a little bit, but we always want to make sure that we're solving issues at their roots. That way we can create lasting change. If we just address the symptoms, well, then you know, with the sickness, if you just fix the symptoms, but you don't fix what's really causing those symptoms to show up, then they're going to continue to show up time and time again. And I know a lot of people have been talking about that in the group and just in general, that they keep experiencing the same things. Here we are, we're setting our New Year's resolutions or goals or intentions, whatever you might be doing. And oftentimes we realize that the same thing keeps playing out year after year after year. So we want to really make sure we get to the root of that. And we've also found, after working with so many couples, right, Mark, that most people, they really don't understand why their spouse wants out or why their spouse might be checked out or unhappy. And so we really want to uncover what that is. And we're going to share with you some proven ways to uncover what those root causes are about why your spouse may be pulling away. Before we get to that, though, we're going to share our client win of the week. And we'll say this one comes from Dawn. And she says, I just have to share. My husband just asked what I thought about him moving back in. I asked, do you want to move back in? And he said, I wouldn't ask if I didn't want to. I told him it is 100% his choice and only if he wants to. He said it didn't mean we were back together, but he sees our friendship getting good. I agreed because I know I have to have friendship first. God is good, and I hope he decides to come home. So it's a huge win from Dawn. We like to always share wins across the spectrum of a marriage restoration, not just the glorious end finale with wedding rings back on, and we do celebrate those, but we always love to share the progress along the way because it gives us all inspiration no matter where our relationship may currently be, whether that be that your spouse is completely checked out, maybe wanting a divorce, maybe having an affair, that these milestones are being met, and we always celebrate the progress along the way. Mark, anything you want to
add? Yeah, I want to add something to that. I want to point out why this actually is such a big thing for Dawn. One of the things that she mentioned in her comment is that he sees our friendship as getting good. And some people might say, oh no, I'm getting put into the friend zone. But that piece right there where her husband is now starting to see her as a positive person, is actually starting to enjoy being around her, is starting to describe the situation as getting better. These are all really key points in determining, okay, is there going to be success here? Because if he just in general is saying things are great and things are getting better, this is expressions of hope, expressions that that kind of demonstrate that he sees that things could be different or are different or are going to become different, which is a huge win for Don.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you clarified that. Thank you. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the difference between symptoms and root issues. Mm-hmm. So Mark, when we're talking about symptoms, and that I would say the majority of the time as human beings, we tend to focus on the symptoms. We tend to focus on the surface level. So what do we mean by symptoms? What do we mean by root issues? And then we'll go a little bit deeper into what that means for a relationship.
Well, it's so easy in the moment when there's an argument popping up to really focus in on the fact that maybe as a couple, we argue too much. Or in the moment, you know, let's say that your husband or wife is working extra late and you don't feel supported at home, and to say, okay, they're not there for me. Or, you know, to spend another night alone, you know, lamenting that your husband or wife is not initiating any physical intimacy, that they don't want it themselves, or maybe, yeah, that they're not helping out around the house. It's in these moments where it's so easy to focus on the symptom, and I think it's just completely the wrong sort of thing to focus in on. The reason why we focus in on it, it's so prevalent, it's so present, it's right there in the moment. It's easy to say, this is the problem. We argue too much. They don't initiate intimacy. They aren't there for me. The thing I want to correct here, though, is let's pretend that, you know, this, we were able to put a Band-Aid on this, and we were able to say, okay, fine, I'll come home, you know, let's say I'm the husband that is coming home late, say, okay, fine, I'll come home a little bit early tonight, but then at the same time, I don't really engage with the family. You know, we could put a Band-Aid on it and actually talk about the fact that what's wanted is for me to come home, but it doesn't actually fix the real problem, which is, you know, maybe demonstrations of care and affections or just engagement with the family. The thing is, where we start to go wrong with a lot of these, you know, where we're trying to assess the problem, is we start to say about our partner, we start to give them attributes that are really negative. You know, in the example of maybe the husband who keeps working really late as a workaholic, we might say that husband doesn't care about his family, or he just, he doesn't love us anymore, or he doesn't even see us anymore. They start to make assumptions about the intentions of the spouse. And I find that in most every case, most everyone actually wants to have a healthy marriage. And that usually means that they want their husband or wife to be happy and to feel fulfilled. So when I'm talking about a root issue, then root issues then are these things that prevent people in the relationship from giving what's needed. And getting away from the assumptions that, oh, he's just trying to start a fight and we fight too much. He doesn't really care about me and doesn't want to listen to me. And my spouse doesn't even care enough to help out with the chores. This is what I try to clarify when I say I talk about, you know, when I'm trying to clarify root issues with clients, is getting away from that assumption of intentions and focusing on the surface level problems, like the arguments or whatnot, and actually getting into why those arguments are happening, why there isn't any intimacy, why your spouse is working late, why they're not helping out around the house. A lot of this kind of centers around a basic principle. And if you take nothing else away from this, I want you to remember this basic principle here, is that every poor behavior has a logical explanation for why it's happening. And focusing on root issues means addressing the causes or those explanations. So I want to give an example, and I'm going to ask you maybe, Heather, for an example in a moment, but I'm thinking of, you know, a problem within, you know, within myself, within my family that has potential to go deeper. So I'm going to admit a weakness in that sometimes I do not hold my frustration or temper very well with family. So I actually was talking about this the other night with my wife. This is not a big concern, but I'm going to explain, you know, what's going on and how it could be a bigger concern. So I feel like sometimes when I'm trying to help out, when I'm trying to do things, especially with my kids, if there is something that happens that makes my attempt to help more difficult, that really flares up my anger. Like if I'm being nice and cooking some dinner for the family, and one of my kids comes in, and this is a real life example, comes in and spills a bunch of the ingredients across what I'm cooking, really bothers me. So the potential here is that, you know, I could take this and, you know, I could be raising my voice. My kids could then be feeling like they don't care. I don't care about them. My wife could start to think that I am too stern or strict with the kids, and it could turn into this big situation. The root issue, if I really wanted to address this, I wouldn't talk necessarily about the outbursts, the frustration, the temper, or the hypothetical raising of voice. I'd be looking at, okay, what is causing this? I'm, you know, in this case, I don't always feel appreciated, or I don't always feel heard when I, you know, I don't feel supported when I'm trying to make my efforts. And so if I really wanted to address this with my wife, if she wanted to address it with me, we figure out ways to help our children to recognize these sort of moments, and to you know, for me to maybe communicate these sort of how I feel better with the kids. We'd be looking at that rather than telling, say, you know, the easy solution of, Mark, you just need to calm down. I don't know if that's a great example. I could even give a much more clear one. I want to ask you then in a moment here, Heather, about maybe some examples you can think of. But let's take a much clearer example. Let's talk about a hypothetical problem concerning some emotional or physical intimacy. I know a lot of you out there, you know, Heather and I, we talk about getting in there, having these conversations, and you say, well, I can't. My husband, my wife won't talk to me. And you could lament at the fact that, you know, there isn't much emotional intimacy, or you could lament even over physical intimacy. You could say, well, they just don't want it. They don't care about me. They're just stuck. And you could focus so much on the conversation that you'd miss that there are probably things contributing to their reluctance to be close with you, whether that is feelings of trust and security, whether that is feelings of respect. And you really want to go into those causes there if you're actually going to have a dent on this problem. But I'm wondering here, Heather, if there's any situation that you can think of within your relationship with your family or with Ben, where maybe a focus on the root issues has been really important.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is something that my my son Chance said this morning. He is almost 12. They were putting on their snow stuff to go sledding, which is why I have a nice quiet house right now, which is lovely. their dad's taking them sledding, so they were getting on, you know, their sweatpants and their snowsuits and their boots and their coat and their glove. And he's like, "We're like onions. We have so many layers." And this idea of getting to the root issue is really kind of like that, like peeling back the layer one by one by one by one. From a mindset perspective, I have often wondered, because I'll be the first to raise my hand and say I've done this myself, why is it that we focus so much on what we have now identified as the symptoms? It's not really about arguments about money. It's not about distrust. It's not about the affair. It's not about, you know, all the things that Mark and I've mentioned so far that are the symptoms. It's not about those things, but that's where we tend to focus. And so I often wonder why. And I have wondered myself, why is it that I tend to focus on what's really, you know, the argument or the thing that he said or the thing that he didn't do, right, that hurt me. And from what I've seen, it's like, because that's the outer layer, that's what we see, that, like Mark, you said, that's what's immediately in front of us. And that's where the pain, the emotion really is. And when we're in pain and when we're struggling, we try to come up with a reason, an explanation. Mm-hmm. And when we're in that kind of negative interpretation, negative energy, we're in pain, we're frustrated, we're hurt, the interpretation is almost never going to be positive. And so that's like what Mark was saying, we need to really make sure we don't negatively immediately bring this interpretation. But like I said, I'm going to be the first to raise my hand that I do this. I still do it. And I actually catch myself doing it. Like just over the holiday, I had expressed a need to my husband. I'm very large pregnant. I've got a lot going on. I don't want family. I don't want to be hosting. Okay. And then a situation came up where he was asking if we could host, and that immediately my negative interpretation it was that he doesn't care. He doesn't listen to me. He's not respecting me. He's not aware of what I'm really going through. So he must not care. And I have to be really careful every time I hear myself telling a story. We talk often about our stories, the reasons that we explain for why is my spouse doing what they're doing? And then why am I going to do what I'm going to do, right? And we talk about how to understand how that perspective of what the story really is, right? So it takes a lot of awareness, I think. And just even using this example of the holidays, of peeling back the layers. My initial interpretation, I don't want to host. Now Ben's asking me to host. He must not care. That's the initial surface level interpretation. That's what I see. That's what feels painful. And if I stay there, it could fester into a much bigger problem. And for many years of our marriage, that's exactly what has happened. And so that's why it's so crucial that we have that awareness to say, is there another way of looking at this? How can I better understand him and peel back those layers? Like Mark, you peeled back the layers of your anger and frustration about the kids with dinner and realized maybe I'm not feeling very appreciated. That's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different, opportunity for us to make progress and growth from, I shouldn't yell at the kids, or I shouldn't get upset. Like Mark just shouldn't get upset, or Heather just shouldn't get upset because Ben asked her to host, to actually, I'm feeling unappreciated. Actually, I'm feeling stepped on. Actually, I'm feeling, insecure, whatever it might be. Actually, I'm feeling completely drained. And that's what's then causing this to show up, because then when we get to the root issues, we can create real solutions and work together as a team when we have that understanding. So again, kind of like the onions, like just peeling back the layers to get to what's really there has been so powerful and so healing, so that we're not in this constant cycle of you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to withdraw from you, so you're going to withdraw from me, and it just kind of perpetuates the pain. No, we want to get down to real healing by understanding what those deeper root issues are. Oh, I
hope that was... You mentioned here that, you can be the first one to raise your hand saying that you do. Like, even me, I teach the sort of thing all the time. And Heather and I are going to be the first to admit, like, neither of us are perfect. And this is not what we're asking of you either, oftentimes, for me in my marriage, I have to take a look at things after the fact, after I've calmed down a bit, and go back to Jen or go back to my children and say, hey, you know what? I think this is really what's going on, and this is how we need to approach things. Now, Heather, with all this said, I still don't think that we're being super clear on, what this is. And I think it would be really helpful for everyone if we can kind of talk about how to identify these root issues. I think, like, by and large, this is probably what will kind of seal the explanation a bit. In my opinion, I think, there's a few things that I generally will recommend when we're trying to identify. I mean, it's much easier if I'm talking to the person directly. But if I had to just get some tips for doing this yourself, I think the biggest thing that you can do is to assume that every action has a reasonable or even positive intention. And I'm going to include in this list, and this is going to sound a bit controversial, things like affairs, addiction, even something like abuse. And that might sound crazy. And I'm not going to recommend, I will never recommend that, okay, if you feel unsafe, if you feel like you're in this really terrible abusive relationship, that you feel that you should feel the need to stick around or to fix that. I mean, if you feel really unsafe and that there's an abusive situation or it's really unhealthy for you, please protect yourself. But if you're in the mindset to try and fix things, if that's the direction that you're going in, then by all means, you need to take a look at this in a slightly different way, that there are reasonable explanations for just about every action. So I think an example that I quite often go to, because I did work for a while with addictions, is addictions. We might say, okay, well, how could there be a reasonable explanation for something like that? I found that when talking with a lot of these clients, a theme that came up over and over and over and over again is that many people who were involved in addictions, they were looking for a way to cope with some really heavy feelings and didn't have a healthier way to do that. So it would be really easy to say to that about that addicted person who was addicted that they just don't have the willpower, or that they don't care about their family, they don't care who they hurt. When in many cases, even that's not really true. They might actually really care about their family. It's just they have no better way of dealing with some really heavy things, and that really needs to be something that is addressed much more so than, say, simply their willpower or their, you know, the fact that, you know, the idea that they don't care about the people around them, which is, I think, what is. Go ahead.
I'm going to add there, they feel they don't have a better way, right?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
There are options, but that's where they're at, right?
I think even something like abuse, it's much easier to look at this in terms of like children, you know, where we have the prototypical, the stereotypical bully. You know, in many cases, the bullying is a result of the child themselves not feeling very safe or feeling abused themselves, and they take out a lot of the anger, those unpleasant feelings on other people in order to feel a bit more in control of their lives. If we just say the bully is a bad person and is irredeemable, they should be punished, that doesn't really get actually at the root of what's causing the bullying to begin with. I know that in some in studies with a lot of, you know, school problems like bullying, where the school system is offering a lot of mental health support, not just to the kids, but to the families, it has a huge impact on, just in terms of the ability for these sort of individuals, these bullies, to get better grades and actually have some positive interactions with their peers. And this is, you know, all coming from this one tip, is assuming that every action actually has a reasonable explanation or possibly even a positive intention. You know, the other example, like my husband is never there for me, he's always working late, could be that husband is really working hard to provide and feels like he is doing a good job at that and is not seeing some of the problems that it is causing. Could be, you know, there's also always a good explanation for these sort of behaviors. Heather, I mean, I don't know, what do you think about that? Do you think that, I mean, would you agree with this? Is it always the case that there's a good explanation for things?
Well, you know, we've worked with so many couples going through so many different things. From an affair to to addiction itself. And when we really look at what's going on, we often hear that, well, if they're having an affair, our therapist said, well, we need to end the affair. They need to stop seeing this other person. And then that's it. And that's kind of where it stays. And so maybe progress is even made and the spouse will leave the other person, but we never really identified why that happened in the first place. And so other issues are going to inevitably crop up. So until we really understand what was driving that behavior, right, and we come to understand, that's it's only going to continue to perpetuate, right? Which just says, again, why we need to get to the root issues here. And then when we really actually understand where our spouse is coming from, why they did what they did, even if it was so destructive and so hurtful, we come to realize again and again and again and again that that person did have a reason, that they did have even sometimes a positive intention, right? There was a need that they felt like they needed to have met, or they felt like this was their best hope for happiness, right? When we really come to understand our spouse, and we've worked with so many couples that we hear this from them, they're like, okay, now I finally understand why you were driven to do this, why this behavior is happening. And there comes an incredible amount of, with that understanding, it's just healing, right? It comes with the idea of I can now even have compassion for you, even though you've hurt me deeply, because now I can finally see where you're coming from. It's like we never really understand what any other human being ever experiences, but the more that we try to put ourselves in their shoes and see the world from their experience, we don't know what happened in their childhood, what's driven them, what kind of maybe emotional, mental, whatever issues they might be dealing with. But when we finally get that understanding, that's when we really find the healing that we're looking for.
Yeah. Of course, the understanding isn't everything. I think, you know, once you have a reasonable explanation for things, I think it's then important to then, you know, if we're actually going to address the root issues, you know, to ask yourself, what is preventing then us from getting what we want? If the explanation is, I don't have a good way to cope with these really tough feelings, then we can say, well, what do we do about this? You know, do we need to get some help? Do we need to get, what are we doing then to actually address this root problem? You know, in the case of maybe, you know, if the problem in my marriage with, say, my frustration or temper were really high and I really wanted to address that, you know, I'd be talking with my wife, okay, what is the best course of action then for us to address this with our kids, with myself? Do I need to go get help? Do we need to have more chats with the kids? And rather than saying, Mark, Mark, you just need to calm down. It's that second part. Is here's this reasonable explanation. Then we, you know, continue to ask further. Okay, what's preventing us from going further? What's preventing us from actually solving this then? That's important. So with that in mind, I do think that there are some mistakes that get made in this process. You know, by and large, it is exactly what we've been talking about. It's the assumptions that are made when we are in the moment. I think it's really easy to assume your partner's motivations, their intentions during a tense period in your marriage. So if you guys, I mean, if you're here, you're probably going through some problems. And I'm guessing that there's been a lot of assumptions being made on one side or the other about your partner's intentions. During these times, I think, Heather, you mentioned this just a little bit ago, people are very likely to interpret intentions negatively when there is tension in the air, when there are some marriage problems, when someone is, you know, expressing that they might be considering leaving. And it's really easy for this to escalate and get worse and to get further away from actually what the root problems are. I see that that mistake all the time. It is this spiraling effect that it just kind of compounds on itself. I mean, you've seen that, right, Heather, with some of the clients that we have?
Yeah, and in my own marriage itself, for sure.
I know exactly. You know, sometimes if I'm, you know, Jen or I are upset at each other and we don't really catch ourselves, it's easy to for that to continue to go forward and to escalate, and until it gets to a point where one of us say, okay, this has gone too far, and Jen and I are usually good about then, you know, fixing it after the fact. But I think the other mistake that is sometimes made is a variation of this as well. It's taking action without having that understanding. Now, I'm not going to say that doing things like buying flowers or, you know, coming home from work early or any number of other solutions are terrible. Those intentions are good. You're trying to put out some solutions. But without actually going and talking to your spouse and just putting out these solutions first, and assuming that it gets the job done, I think the mistake that gets made is that assumption right there that, okay, if I buy flowers, then this will solve the problem because my wife said that I don't care about her enough. It's doing that action, assuming it's done without actually really a lot of communication. And I think what happens there is for many couples, it is really hard to actually talk directly about these feelings. And it's so much easier just to do, you know, to give the flowers, assume that everything's good without really checking in, because that's an uncomfortable conversation to have if you've been having a lot of fights. I do think that when things have been unhealthy, it's really important to make sure that the actions that you are taking are something that's appreciated or something that's actually affecting what's going on. Otherwise, you're going to run the risk of, you know, at its very worst, you might get a situation where you might buy flowers and it's interpreted as you being clueless and still not caring. I don't see that a whole lot, but I do see it sometimes as couples pull apart. They say, you're giving me flowers when I'm telling you I'm leaving. You really don't get me. And this just demonstrates further that you're not listening. You don't respect what I'm saying. And this is kind of what I'm getting at here, is if you don't actually understand what's going on and you start taking action, I think that's the worst case scenario. Most times it's not going to be quite like that, especially when your relationship is a little bit healthier. But I do recommend that you, if you're trying to fix things, that you keep really close communication as you are trying to make some efforts.
I see the same thing, Mark. A lot of people will exhaust themselves doing what they think are the right things, and they might have the very best intentions. And those same things are because they don't have the understanding for their, you know, their spouse and what it means to their spouse. They end up at best being ineffective, at worst completely backfiring, and sometimes pushing their spouse further away. And I know after, you know, hearing clients about, you know, anything from texting to physical touch, different things that they think are going to help draw their spouse in, but when we actually uncover what's going on, it's really pushing their spouse further away. And so that's why it's really crucial that we build that understanding. Now, Mark, there's a question here that we got from the group live that I want to bring onto the podcast. It says, what if they think the root issue is that he doesn't love me? So the other person, what if they think the root issue is that he doesn't love me?
That's a good question. And I'd like to go back to what I was saying is, let's take that and actually assume the best intentions. This person who claims, who's feeling a lack of love. Let's just assume that they're trying to be happy and they're really feeling this. So there's gotta be a reasonable explanation for why this is happening. Perhaps they didn't feel respected. They didn't feel heard. They didn't feel supported. Perhaps they were hoping for more connection or for there to be a lot more proactive effort towards their relationship. If you look at this and say, okay, well, we just don't have any love, well, then you're sitting there right at the surface. You're sitting there at the result of many, many things that have happened. And when you start saying, there's got to be an explanation for what happened here, for something that caused this, that's where you start getting to the root issue. I hear this complaint so many times from clients, and when I start helping people to talk through something like this, there's always something that actually happened that caused their connection to decline. You might even say, you might give the excuse, oh, we drifted apart, we didn't spend much time together. You could even say right there, here is this explanation where we didn't give enough importance to the relationship. And when you explain it that way, well, then there's some really easy solutions, as long as everyone is still willing. When people are not willing at that point, then it's a much different matter. And not saying that nothing can be done. There's still some solutions, but it just becomes more difficult. But yeah, something like that. There's always an explanation somewhere deep down that has caused, what's right here in front of your face.
So what comes to my mind here, as we're kind of bringing this full circle, and I really appreciate, I think you've done a fabulous job, Mark, here of explaining the difference between root issues and symptoms. But even that thing, like, I just don't love you, that's still a symptom. That's still, like Mark said, the culminating, like, it's a result. It's not what actually has led up to this point. For me, I always say, don't put a Band-Aid on a cancer tumor, because I had cancer. And if I just fixated on the tumor, right, the tumor being the result, and I put all my energy and everything onto just getting rid of that thing, just, getting it out of my body, out of my life, and never really understanding why it happened in the first place, then the likelihood, in my opinion, of it coming back is extremely likely, right? And so the greatest level of healing that I've done, not just with my physical health, but with all of myself, my entire being, emotional, spiritual, everything, is understanding why did that happen in the first place, right? And that took, again, peeling back layers upon layers, and it was often uncomfortable, and there was often resistance, and my subconscious mind wanted to protect me and didn't want me to go find out what that really was. But I knew that if I really wanted to have ultimate healing and true health, I needed to figure out what caused that cancer to show up in the first place. And it wasn't something that could just be put a Band-Aid on. You couldn't just cut it out with a scalpel. You couldn't even just treat it with medication. It was something that I had to dig deep in and find within myself to be able to really heal that at the root level and experience the ultimate healing that we really wanted. So just be really cautious every time we think that we know what the root issue is. Is it really a root issue, or is it actually just a symptom or a result? And oftentimes the things that our spouse says and the things that we hear from our clients that their spouses are saying, I don't love you anymore. I'm in love with someone else. I never loved you to begin with. I don't trust you, right? I want to be with someone else. All of these things are the surface level symptoms. And so understanding the event or events, as Mark said here, that caused those to happen in the first place, that's where the work is that we really need to do. That's hard to see on our own. It's easier to see the cancer tumor. It's harder to see why it grew in the first place. And that's what Mark and I do, is we help guide you to sift through the words, sift through the behaviors, sift through your own pain and your own emotions to really uncover what is going on there.
There's a comment here that kind of continuing that discussion, saying he loves me, he's just not in love with me, too much hurtful things have happened. And this just actually reinforces the point. It's not just simply the love, there's a lot of hurtful things that have happened. And if we could even go further, we can say, okay, what's an explanation for all of this? And it would be a discussion of what hurtful things have happened. Why is it reasonable then for the partner, her husband, to have pulled away? And we would have to address those issues. And I imagine it would have to be some work involving helping things feel safe and secure again, helping there to be more trust in the relationship, not actually focusing in on the romance right in the moment, because a lot of those things are precursors to actually being able to build up some romance again. So, I mean, it's in that sort of example, it's perfectly reasonable for her husband to not have feelings of love if there's been a lot of hurt. And you have to go back to those roots there to in order to build up the love again. Anyways. Go ahead.
Yeah. So just kind of bringing this full circle is that there is real healing that can happen. And I encourage everyone, regardless of what happens in your relationship, that being the results that we don't have full control over, right? We don't have full control over our spouse, that we do this deeper healing within ourselves, no matter what, that we find out what the root issues are inside of ourselves that are causing symptoms to show up, right? Why do I keep going into a relationship and having them betray my trust? Why does this keep happening? What's really going on inside me? And instead of being at the surface level, like the interpretation that Mark and I gave in our own lives, like I just have a bad temper, or he just doesn't care about me, that we really get down deep and we realize what's actually going on inside ourselves, that I don't feel secure, I don't feel appreciated. And when we do that deeper inner work, that's when real transformation occurs. Just like a tree, right? If we look at the fruit of the tree and the fruit's rotten, but we don't look at the roots, then the tree is always going to produce rotten fruit. We need to go into the roots and heal what's going on the deeper level, so that then the results that we want to see, the healthy, beautiful, vibrant fruit, will be ours, and we'll be able to experience that. So that's what I encourage us all to do. Just like I couldn't have just gone to a surgeon and say, cut out this cancer tumor, I'm done with it. We need to make sure that we have the right guidance and perspective to go identify what's really going on. And that's hard to see in our own selves. That's why Mark and I do offer coaching services for your relationship, so that you can really heal and you can have the help along the way to see what you might not be able to see yourself, and to build up, uncover those things layer by layer, and be able to experience true lasting healing in yourself as well as in your relationships. So if you're wanting help with that, as always, we encourage you to have a free consultation with us. We're just doing a New Year's consultation right now at the recording of this podcast, so that you can have the best marriage ever in 2020. If you're listening to this years later, we're probably have something brand new for you. But as of right now, we encourage you to do that. And you can go over to highthrivecoaching.com/apply and truly make this year the best year of your marriage yet. So Mark, let's go into our marriage mythbuster. If my spouse doesn't know what is wrong, it means they don't care about me. And again, I'd be the first to raise my hand and say, okay, I've thought this, I've definitely done this. And so what do we do about this? If my spouse doesn't know what's wrong, it means they don't care about me.
Well, I pulled this out, Heather, because it's such a common thought. And I hope by now, after our, you know, we've been discussing this for the last 40 minutes or so, I hope you recognize this is not accurate. Here is some of these assumptions that are being made. This is actually a common enough misconception, something that happens over and over again in many relationships, but there's actually a name for it, you know, within self-help or personal development or psychology. It's called mind reading. It's the assumption that our spouse should be able to read our mind. Within psychology, it's actually classified, it's one of the common cognitive distortions, or in other words, it's classified as an error in thinking. So this is a common enough occurrence that if you go, if you go to like a professional and say, okay, there's this cognitive distortion, mind reading, they'll know exactly what's going on in that relationship. The assumption comes from the idea that if you've lived together long enough, you should be able to anticipate certain needs and wants. And if those needs and wants aren't anticipated, then it obviously demonstrates that you're not paying attention and therefore do not care. Even in long-term relationships like 10, 20, or even 30 plus years, I'm going to tell you all, people will never get to the point of being able to anticipate every small desire. They just won't. I love the example my parents said. They It's 52 now. They've celebrated 52 years together just the other week. And I remember talking with them right around their 50th anniversary. And I remember them mentioning this very thing about being able to communicate with each other and to not make assumptions like this. In fact, you know, just to even back that up even further, studies show that it's a huge factor in what determines a healthy relationship is this ability to clearly communicate and to receive these bids to get needs met. In other words, for you to say, if I have this need, to actually, it's my responsibility to ensure that my spouse understands what's needed and to make sure that they understand how important it is to me. It's my responsibility if that's what I want. But the studies were showing if couples have that understanding, if they get that skill down, it's a huge factor in terms of contributing to the health and satisfaction of the relationship. So if you want to get something from your spouse, bottom line, you have to have healthy communication and letting the other person know what's wanted and how it is important to you. There's just far too many relationships that deteriorate because someone believes that they are being as clear as day and don't actually check in with their spouse. For one reason or another, it's not received. You probably would believe, but I was going to say, you wouldn't believe how many times I've heard the complaint. I've told you so many times that things were wrong, and the person I'm talking to, my client, says, I didn't hear those complaints. I didn't understand how bad it was. And it's usually, the sad thing is most of the time, the problem isn't a lack of care or affection. It's simply a lack of poor social or communication skills. And I'm not even saying poor social or communication skills on the part of the person who didn't anticipate needs. And I'm talking about on both sides, the ability to clearly communicate your bid for a need and the ability to hear your spouse out when there's that bid. So I hope that busts the myth. It's not just us. It is scientific research. It is anecdotal evidence from my parents. It is also just a whole category of problematic thinking from, you know, many respected psychologists. It's just, it's not accurate. Anyways.
Thank you, Mark. Beautiful. It's so good. And like I said, I've fallen trapped to that myself. And so it's so important to have that deeper level of, you know, understanding and communication and clarity. So next week, our friends, we're going to share with you how to have a fresh start for your marriage this year. I'd really encourage each of us to think about where do we want our marriage to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, 52 years from now. And let's think about who we want to be and know that no matter where you are, there is healing and there is hope and it is possible for you to have that kind of relationship that your heart and your soul are craving. We're here to help your marriage thrive. Thank you so much, Mark. We will talk to you guys soon.
See you, Rob.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.